Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here on this beautiful Friday afternoon here in northeastern Ohio. I remember looking at the weather last night, hearing on the news that there's supposed to be some storms possibly coming through around 2-ish or something like that, and the temperature was supposed to drop a little bit, but when I came in from the parking lot, it was 79 degrees. I think the humidity's down from what it was yesterday, and it's the light breeze. I thought if it stayed like that, it'd be pretty nice right there. But at any rate, it's a beautiful day out there right now, at least where I'm at, and hope it's nice where you're at. But wherever you're at, I hope you'll stay tuned here this afternoon. I've got an interesting topic. We have, you've heard our advertisements for the program. We talk about just about everything, and one of the things that's mentioned on there is UFOs and life on other planets type stuff. So we're actually going to touch on that today for a little bit. But in the meanwhile, we're going to also open with a word of prayer. And let me remind you, you can find us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we had to be on the air again today. Pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory, Lord. Help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody today. And just to pray that what we're talking about today, you could use to just to be able to point people to Christ, encourage believers in their walk with you. And just thank you for all these things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, wanted to share something. I've meant to do this a number of times, and usually I find out after the fact or something like that. But every year in Roswell, New Mexico, and I'd love to go there myself sometime, personally. But they have an annual UFO festival. Maybe you've heard about this. Of course, this is the location in Roswell where back in the 1940s, I think it was like 1944 or something like that, that supposedly something crashed there, and it's rumored everything from aliens were recovered from a spacecraft and they were taken by the military, and some states the bodies are still down at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base here in Ohio and near Dayton. And then others says it was a weather balloon, and I think a few years ago a story came out that it was actually some kind of Soviet something or other that they purposely made people think it was a UFO in order to be able to scare people away and keep people from finding out what was going on. But whatever the case is, Roswell's become this center for UFO enthusiasts, and every year, and it's usually around the first weekend in July, they have this UFO festival, and the whole town gets involved in it, and they have a lot of activities and different things. But in addition to the activities and all, they also have a number of people come out and do seminars and things like that. And I was made aware of some of the seminars, a book that was recommended to me a number of years ago called Alien Intrusion, and subtitled UFOs and the Evolution Connection by, I believe it's Gary Bates, B-A-T-E-S. And this is a very good book, a very interesting book, and I had read another one who made some similar observations, and this is what I wanted to bring up a little bit, and we'll just touch on it here with a couple of things. But as you look at this, the book Alien Intrusion, Gary Bates brings out some information that most people who are really into the UFO research stuff know about but don't want to talk about. And as I said, I read some other books written, Alien I'm sorry, Gary Bates is actually a Christian. He writes from a Christian perspective, but some other people, secular writings, writers have made similar observations about the nature of UFOs and the so-called beings that are seen there. And in the prevailing thought amongst many people in the UFO community is not so much that they're from another world, but that they're from another dimension. And that ties in nicely with what Gary Bates makes the case for in his book, The Alien Intrusion, is that they're actually coming from the spiritual realm, and they're not alien creatures, but in reality, they are fallen angels masquerading in that sense. And so there's a number of books that people who've written on this in the past that you can see. I might mention a few as we go along here as well. But Dave Hunt, I believe, has made this point in some of his books as well, where he has written about the idea that one thing that all these things have in common when people meet these so-called aliens is their antipathy, if not outright hatred of the Bible. They don't mind the Quran, and they don't mind the various Eastern mysticism type writings and things like that, but they all seem to hate the Quran, and they certainly don't like the name of Jesus. That ought to give you some information right there. In fact, one of the things that's brought out by the alien abduction researchers is that once this abduction stops, you're powerless to stop it. But what they all know but don't want to admit, and Gary Bates brings it out in his book, is that people who call upon the name of Jesus, the abduction instantly ends. And it's kind of interesting. Why this hatred of the name of Jesus? Why this hatred of the Word of God? Why is it that they don't mind you talking about Eastern mysticism or even Islam and all sorts of things, but they sure don't want you talking about Christianity? Well, this brings up the question again, and as we looked at this, are we alone in the universe? And we see in the vastness of space that we know that there's hundreds of billions of galaxies, which is interesting because every time we put up a bigger telescope or a better method of seeing into the dark recesses of space, places that look empty in the sky we find are filled with stars, filled with galaxies. And so we know there's hundreds of billions of galaxies, and each of these galaxies containing perhaps hundreds of billions of stars, and many of these stars with multiple planets circling around them. And so out of trillions and trillions of possible planets out there in the vastness of the universe, people say, surely we're not the only living things that God created. We're not the only place, let's put it this way first, we're not the only place that life exists. And so what does the Bible say about this? And that's where we want to start. When we go to Genesis chapter 1, we read in verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And when we look at this, this tells us that before anything existed, only God existed. God existed as the eternal, infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. He existed alone. He had always existed. And in fact, time had not yet begun. God always existed. He's an eternal being without beginning and without end. And for reasons of his own choosing, God desired to create some kind of being that he could commune with and have fellowship with. And to do so, he created the heaven and the earth as a place within himself for those beings to exist and to live. Now, keep in mind, everything that exists has to exist within the being of God, because there is no outside of God. God is the the totality of all that exists. There are some people that I've run into that believe that there's spots that God does not exist, but that's not true. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And there's no place that he does not exist. Well, God continues, is what I mean to say. God continues to maintain the existence of everything that exists. So heaven that was first created is apparently a spiritual realm created by God, and in this spiritual realm, he created spiritual beings that he could commune and fellowship with. These spiritual beings are what we call angels, and they exist primarily in the spiritual realm. They have intellect, they have emotion, and they have free will. God refers to them as the morning stars and as the sons of God in Job 38, verses 4 and 7, where the Bible says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Okay. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Now, this is a reference. There's the angels, the morning stars singing together, the sons of God shouting for joy. They had to be created then before the earth was created. So they would have been created on the first day at the beginning of the creation week when God created the heaven first and then the earth. And they would, like Adam and Eve later, have been created as fully aware, fully responsive, sentient beings. And again, there in Job 38, there at the end, in verse 7, where he says, the morning stars and the sons of God, talks about the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They are watching God lay the foundations of the earth, and they're celebrating and they're singing his praises, and they're interacting with God and in response to what they see God doing. So by the end of the first day of creation, we have the creation of the spiritual realm, which would be heaven, which populated with angelic beings created to have fellowship and communion with God. And then we have the physical realm that's been created, which consists at this point, at the end of day one, as only the earth, light, and darkness. Now, this is a crucial point. If the Bible is correct on this, and I believe that it is, there is nothing else in existence in the universe, the physical universe, yet, except for the earth. No other planets, no other stars, no other moons, nothing. All these were created by God, for God, and existing within the eternal, infinite being of God. Now, heaven created day one, that's a spiritual realm, and we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul had been, he was referring to himself when he had been stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra, it says verses 2 through 4 here, Paul writes, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth." Paul didn't know whether he was dead or alive, but he knows that God knows whatever the case was. "Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." He was brought up into space, or into heaven, not into space, but into heaven, the third heaven, the spiritual realm, where God's throne is, where the angels are. And that leaves the other two heavens, which is the atmosphere of the earth, and then the expanse of space. And they're also differentiated during the creation week in Genesis chapter 1, where the birds are described as flying above the earth in the open firmament of heaven in verse 20, and then in verses 14 through 18, we see the sun, the moon, the stars described as lights in the firmament of the heaven. Well, clearly those two heavens are different. The open firmament of heaven where the birds fly is clearly different than the firmament of heaven where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. So the development of the first and second heavens, the atmosphere and space are discussed in Genesis here in the first 21 verses. And as we look at this, this is saying that we see that they and the earth make up the totality of the physical realm, which we call the universe. And keep in mind, we have angels living in the spiritual realm on the first day. There are no forms of life of any kind in the physical realm until day three, when God creates plant life on the earth, which brings up a problem for those that like to claim that life on Earth was seeded from space. You know, evolutionists have found that we just don't have enough time really to account for evolution, even with their inflated billions of years age for the Earth. So they basically remove the problem by saying that the Earth was seeded from space. The idea is called panspermia, which says that some kind of life forms, probably in the form of bacterial spores or some kind of virus or something, came to the Earth via comets and meteors that crashed into the Earth. But see, the problem is, according to the Bible, is that on day three, plant life was created on Earth, and day three is prior to the creation of the sun, moon, and stars on day four. So there was no other place for plant life or for bacterial life or even viruses or anything to come to the Earth before day four, because there were no other places before day four. So the only forms of life created in the material realm by day three was plant life. And then, of course, there would have been nothing anywhere else. Any life elsewhere in the universe could not possibly have occurred or come about until day four. So life began first on Earth, and really it's not the word began. I'm not saying that it began in the sense of evolved, began in that's the first place that life was created. And so the first place that we have life is on Earth. So any life that could exist anywhere else in the universe couldn't possibly exist until day four, so at the earliest. And the Earth did not have any other forms of plant life other than plant life until after day four, when God created aquatic life and fowls on day five, and then land animals on day six. It's also on day six that God created man. And man is the only other form of life that we see in the Bible that was, like the angels, created to have fellowship and communion with God. In fact, the Bible says that Adam was created in the image of God, and we see that they were given responsibility for and dominion over all other forms of life that God had created on the earth. They were sentient, they were self-aware, they were aware of God, just like the angels. And so by the end of the creation week, we see that God's created both a spiritual realm, that would be the third heaven, and a physical realm, that would be the universe. God populated both realms with intelligent, self-aware, and God-aware beings that were created to have fellowship and communion with him. Heaven, as I said, the third heaven, spiritual heaven, was populated with angels, and the earth the universe was populated with human beings. And it's also interesting to note that the angels all appear to have been created on day one, but only two humans, Adam and Eve, were created on day six, and they were given the command to be fruitful and multiply and replenish, which in the Hebrew means to fill the earth. And so that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. No mention is made of any other beings created to have fellowship and communion with God in either the spiritual or physical realm other than the angelic beings and the human beings. So, does this preclude the existence of other intelligent, self-aware, God-aware beings created to have fellowship and communion with God elsewhere in the vastness of the universe? And if if they are there, would they have a similar opportunity to obey or disobey God like Adam and Eve did with the tree of knowledge and good and evil? And could they be involved in their own redemption stories? And if that's the case, then you got another set of problems. And this is a set of problems. And this is why I don't believe there's any other intelligent life in the universe. Because one glaring problem is that the whole of creation appears to be Earth-centric. Earth was created first, and it appears to be central to the overall plan and purpose of what God is doing. Life was created first on the Earth. The sun and the moon, the stars were created in space to divide the day from the night on Earth, and to be for signs and seasons and for days and years on Earth, to be lights in the firmament of heaven and to give light upon the Earth. Another problem stems from God's command for Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Death was not in God's original plan, and so Adam and Eve, had they not sinned, would have had children. Their children, had they not sinned, would have continued being fruitful and multiplying. They'd have filled up the earth, and perhaps the rest of the physical realm was for human beings to expand in. But that changed, of course, when Adam disobeyed God, and by one man's sin, Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death and suffering are part of the curse that God placed on the world because of Adam's sin. Now, death and suffering appears to be placed on all of creation. And that seems to be why God tells us in 2 Peter 3:7, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The passage clearly says that the actions of ungodly men have affected the heavens and the earth to the degree that they're going to be reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13, we read this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelt righteousness. The physical realm, the heaven, the universe, but it says the heavens, plural, and the earth. I believe the physical realm and the spiritual realm are going to be cleansed. They're going to be burned up by fire. And the Revelation 21, verse 1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Because the current spiritual realm and the current physical realm is tainted by sin. It's going to be cleansed. So if any form of life existed out there, elsewhere in the vastness of the universe, guess what? When the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, when the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. What's that mean for them? Well, they're going to be destroyed as well, and that would be problematic for any intelligent, self-aware, God-aware beings that might be located somewhere out there in the universe, because they're going to be destroyed. Their world's going to be destroyed along with the earth and the rest of the entirety of the heavens and the earth. So it makes more sense to believe that God did exactly what the Bible says he did. He created a spiritual realm, populated it with angelic beings that they could commune and have fellowship with him, primarily in the spiritual realm. And he created the physical realm to be populated with human beings who would also be able to commune and have fellowship with him, primarily in the physical realm. And we'll see that situation restored after the great white throne judgment in eternity in the future, in the new heaven and in the new earth. But there'll be a couple of major differences. One will be the presence of the lake of fire, where the smoke ascends up forever and ever in the presence of the Lamb of God and the angels and the redeemed of the ages as a testimony of the wickedness and the vileness of sin and the cost of sin. And then, of course, in addition to that, the New Jerusalem described in Revelation chapter 21 as a place prepared for the believers who during the age of grace, which will be there. I think it might form the gateway between the physical realm and the spiritual realm, but we don't have time to get into that. So are we alone in the universe? Yes, in the sense that there's no other intelligent beings, but no in the sense that there's angelic beings in the spiritual realm, and God is with us all. Thanks for listening today. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.